Well, praise the Lord. In all of our lives, we will face difficult situations and circumstances sometimes. And we'll all feel like giving up sometimes. But when we give our lives to Jesus, we repent of our sins and ask him to come and be Lord and Saviour of our lives. He wants to give us the power to live that new life. And so what he does is he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to teach on what all of that is about. But basically, for the believer, for a Christian, the Holy Spirit is God himself living in you, speaking to you, if you listen to him, that is, directing you, helping you to discern what he's wanting, to discern his voice, to listen to him. And so the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome. And one of the aspects of the nature of the Holy Spirit is he is the victorious Spirit. Now, in just to look at what we mean by that, in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, what is important to understand is that when we're looking to God and when we're trusting him, he will get us through the most dire of situations through what Jesus has won on the cross. And actually, this, if you can think, there's probably, if you think about it, the most challenging thing is death. And it says just before this scripture that the victory Jesus has won through our Lord Jesus Christ is the victory over death, and for the believer, eternal separation from God. The victory that Jesus won on the cross enabled us to have direct access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and will enable us who believe to rule and reign with him for all eternity. But that victory isn't just reserved for when we die and go to heaven. That victory we can see from other scriptures where it says he'll always lead us in triumphal procession. We're told to overcome in life. That victory, the nature of the Holy Spirit within us, is, as well as the Spirit of peace and the Spirit of many other things, still the Holy Spirit, aspects of the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who enables us to overcome discouragement, overcome when we feel we're just not getting anywhere, as we pray and believe him and cast all our cares onto him when we're anxious for nothing. It's because we're looking at him and we're trusting God to move through our lives and change situations and circumstances. And so it goes on in 1 Corinthians 15:58 to say, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labour in the Lord is not in vain." Now, I have been in ministry in one way or another. I've got to calculate the years now. Well, yes, at least 38 years. I've known the Lord for more than that. And even being a pastor, in fact, probably especially being a pastor, it can be so discouraging. And believing God for promises that you're not always seeing happen, then just the way people generally behave, and so on and so forth, can be very discouraging. And many people give up in ministry, give up. Many believers stop believing and stop serving God in their life. They let disappointment, difficulty stop them. But the scripture says that the Holy Spirit gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ and will enable us to stand firm forever. The reason I'm still in ministry isn't because of situations and circumstances, it's because I've chosen to believe the promise God has given me. So, you know, whatever comes my way, whatever has come my way, whatever opposition or rejection has come my way, the scripture here says, "Dave, let nothing move you. Stand firm. Give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain." So maybe you're serving in your church Maybe you feel like giving up. Maybe you feel taken advantage of. Maybe you feel some of the prayers you've prayed aren't being answered in the way that you want. Well, I want you to be encouraged this morning. God wants you to be encouraged this morning. Let's move on with this and we'll see why and how we can stay encouraged. Let's turn over to Colossians 3 and verse 17. Now, depending on the work situation you're in, I know of some people that work in places where there's a shared kitchen, just as an example. You could feel like you're always the one that clears up the coffee cups. You may find yourself getting annoyed in the kitchen because you've just washed them and dried them. Half an hour later, you're going back in and one person just shoved a mug there and they couldn't be bothered to do just to clear up after themselves after you'd put so much effort in. Now, that may seem like a silly example, but they're real things that can get to us. But Colossians 3 and verse 17, don't forget we've just seen in Corinthians, always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. It says, whatever you do, so I put my name in this, Dave, whatever you do, even if you're clearing up after someone else, it can annoy me when I'm not careful, if I'm walking into church in the morning and other people have walked past the same piece of litter outside, no one could be bothered. Because it says to me something about people's attitude towards the Lord and their service to him. But I could pick that up and feel sorry for myself and miff. But God says, no. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So God says to us, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It goes on actually beforehand in 3:13. This is a good one when people wind you up. It says, bear with one another. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, I'm not going to teach on that aspect this morning, but I'm teaching more on how we live our lives, how we serve God. Let's unpack this a little bit more from Colossians 3 and verse 23. This is brilliant. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Hallelujah. Now, if we keep that in mind, let's read that one more time. Whatever you do, Dave, work at it with all your heart. We don't do sloppy under God. We don't do half-heartedly under God. He's worthy of glory, honour and praise. And it's kind of like that helps us in the workplace, doesn't it? It's important. It's not saying disrespect man or man doesn't matter. We're told to honour those in authority over us in Scripture. But it says, let your motivation be that whatever you're doing, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm working for you. I'm going to work for you. And it says, with the attitude, not for men. It's not saying, oh, stuff you, Mr. Employer. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the Lord. It's not that attitude. But it's saying, if you're doing it unto the Lord, everyone will benefit because you're going to be giving your absolute best. Lord, I'm serving you in this way. As an example, in my own life, I'm a minister. And I spend a lot of time in the week preparing my heart. I don't just preach what I want to say. I listen to what I believe the Holy Spirit showing me God wants to say, because God knows better than I do what people need to hear, what's been happening in their lives. And, I can spend weeks and I'm generally in the church a couple of hours ahead of time in the morning, again, getting ready, making sure as much is as good as it can be for when people arrive. I serve. Now, sometimes people just roll up late, sit down as though it doesn't really matter, as though they've kind of gone to a burger joint not to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All sorts can go on. People racing in at the last minute. People looking like they're falling asleep when you're preaching. And it can be all sorts of things that can be discouraging. Now, there's plenty of positive things happening, good testimonies going on and other things. But there's a lot of things that could discourage me. But what I do, God says, Dave, if you go and you minister to me, I will minister to the people. Pastor Colin Urquhart, my wonderful father in the Lord, who's now in glory, would teach me. He said, you minister to the Lord and the Lord will minister to the people. Hallelujah. That's a good move, isn't it? Because I can't change anyone, but God can. So if I go and say, well, Lord, all of my setting up was for you. All of my praying this week was unto you. All of my preaching was unto you. And I offer it up to you as a sweet smelling sacrifice. All those things you did for the people at work that didn't get a thank you. All those things you did working that extra hour without any recognition. Whatever it is, guys, if you say, Jesus, this is an offering to you. I love you, Lord. You won't be too bothered whether you get a response or not. Yeah, it'd be nice if you get a pat on the back. Even nicer if you get a pay rise from it. But you do it under the Lord and he'll take care of you. And so what happens by the end of the meeting, then I go home. I give it all to God. Say, Lord, I've done it unto you. The outcome's in your hands. I'm actually not bothered what else happens. Or you may not like me saying this. I'm not bothered whether people liked it or didn't like it. I did it unto the Lord. And I know that if their hearts were for God, they would have liked it. So I can go home and have a nice afternoon and not be concerned because I've given what I've given unto the Lord. And it says the reason we do that is because we'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. So especially when you feel taken for granted, especially when you're facing doing things you'd rather not do, you don't go into a pity party. You do it unto the Lord. Now, if you're on our website listening to this, if you go in to meet the team or one of the things, you'll see a photograph of me. I'm actually wearing a suit in that photo. I don't know whether you think I look like a minister or not. I'm not too bothered. But that can give an image of something. And then this guy stands up and ministers the word of God. And he's a pastor. Well, all of those things are true. But if you'd have seen me on Sunday, after everybody had gone, there was a blocked toilet. It wasn't me, hallelujah, but it needed sorting. So that thing you see in the photo, that person who's the minister called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, is then there with the rods and everything like that, sorting out what is not really a nice problem. But I could have done that in one of two ways. I could have thought, why should I be doing this? Why can't someone else do it? Why? Or I could have the attitude, Lord, this is part of my worship. Now, you may laugh at that and say, how can unblocking a toilet be part of your worship? Well, the scripture says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart as doing it for the Lord and not for men. Since you know that you'll receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. I think if Jesus could take on the humble task of a servant and wash his disciples' feet, you know, and he said, he only did what he saw his father doing, he was serving, then is it too much for me to serve in whatever way God gives? Maybe I should change that photo for me holding some plungers, unblocking a toilet. That wouldn't be good, would it? But you see, it doesn't matter whether you've got a suit on and you're ministering from the platform or whether you've got some old clothes on and you're unblocking a toilet. If you do it unto the Lord as working for him and not for men, if you're saying, Lord, this is part of my offering to you. If you feel like you're the one walking around your house and no one else empties the dishwasher, but you do it unto the Lord, you won't take on resentment. Doesn't mean to say you don't need to have a conversation sometimes and things need adjusting. This isn't a key for you to be treated in the wrong way or things not to be put into order. But whether they're in order or not, let's remember to serve the Lord with all of our heart. And I walked away from that yesterday saying, Jesus, thank you for all you did in the worship, all you did in the service, all the wonderful testimonies. But Lord, thank you also that we've got a wonderful building you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that I've got toilets to unblock. Thank you, Lord, I don't have to set up in an assembly hall every week. I give you thanks. I give you praise. I thank you this doesn't happen too often. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. Thank you. This has been part of my giving to you today. Whatever you do, work it with all of your heart. And that guards us, doesn't it, from resentment. It guards us from when people take us for granted. It guards us when, you know, we're the one doing the thing again that we wish someone else would for a chance. But, you know, we just feel like we're the ones always doing it. So maybe something needs saying or putting in order. But the key to this is whatever we're doing in our lives, do it to serve the Lord. And, you know, someone once said, I'm not quoting this 100% accurately, but, you know, if you do it under God, you just remain secure. And they were basically saying they don't, you know, they don't live in the fear of man. They don't base their security based on man's approval, but they base it on God's approval. And if we can base our lives on God's approval, we'll be far more secure, far happier, far more at peace, far closer to him. And then when someone thanks us, it's great. But if they don't, it's still great, because whatever we're doing it as those working for the Lord and not for men. God bless.